Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to the spread. This is the third episode. It's an exciting one. Got my boy the horse. He's going to be a co-host basically as long as the show runs from here on out. He's a great guy. He knows his gambling stuff. He's reckless. He's a wild card. He's a great addition. Say what's up to everybody, Shay, and then we'll get underway.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm going to be helping out with baseball and talking to some shop on the current Papelbon Harper situation, which is quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, so I'm going to start it off, actually, just so you guys can get a little background on the horse. I'm going to hit you guys with a story from the last time we went to Belmont to do a little horse gambling. It was me, the horse, one other dude. We're both shelled. I think we were probably for our first 15 to 16 plays a day. Kept going to the ATM, which is a classic move of ours. And horse is an Asian gentleman. I think that's important that you guys know because Asians love gambling and he's no different. We get to the ticket counter at the last second and we see there's this horse called Lovers in Japan. We're like, this horse is probably from Asian people. You're Asian. Fuck it. Let's ride. $2 a pop on this. Let's ride on this thing. It's 17 to 1 odds. This horse wins by like 25 lengths. It wasn't even close. We cash out, our other buddies sulking around. It was just a classic situation for anyone that's ever been to the spin to the racetrack. So we thought it'd be kind of cool to do some do's and don'ts of the track because we've been so many times just because we're degenerate animals. We figured we'd do a couple do's and don'ts. Why don't you go first, Shay?
Well, a definite do for going to track is to sniff out the free buffet. Not actually free, but a lot of times you can just go up into like the nicer area of the horse track and there'll be a buffet set up. You can watch the horses from up top with less degenerate people, kind of. It definitely has to be live racing. So that's a definite do. You also don't have to pay. We've been multiple times to Aqueduct Racetrack and haven't paid after receiving a $40 buffet. So that's a definite do. A definite don't is don't leave your ticket stub in the machine after you make a bet. One of our friends who might be calling in later left a $100 ticket in the machine after and forgot it in there, and just some random must have cleaned up on that. So that's definitely a don't. What do you think, Williamson?
That's definitely a don't, and that one – can happen to anybody. Don't sleep on that one. Because sometimes you get your pick in really at the last second and you forget to pull out the ticket that has all your funds on it. A good way to avoid that also is to just bet your entire ticket worth every race. That way you don't have to worry about leaving it in the machine. But that's a fast track to multiple trips to the ATM. For me, a do at the track is no matter if you win, lose, or in the middle, just make a scene no matter what.
That's
like
true.
if your horse is in the lead, like be like screaming like run you flee, like no matter what. If your horse is losing, you're like, this is bullshit, make sure you like crumple up your ticket and throw it on the ground. That's a classic move. A don't is don't bring a guy who's gonna get like sad if he loses a bunch of money and like not get pumped with the boys when they're winning, because that's the worst. You know there's like a better than not chance you're going to lose all your money. So like bring fun group of guys. Like you don't want the one guy like sulking. He's pissed that you're winning because that brings everybody down.
Another do would be to go in on the same horse or a couple of the same plays. Maybe not all day, but a couple of them just so you can get a little morale going in the group. That's a great way to do it.
I like going in on like communal situations, so that's a good way to avoid the situation where you get the one guy who's sulking. We got a friend, Rick. He's a total degenerate, but he gets so sad when he loses. It sucks. We love going places with him, but then he's like, it seems like he kind of resents you if you win. It's not a great situation, and you know he's not. He's a nice guy, but you know you have those two asshole friends no matter what you bet on or where you go, like if it's a casino or a racetrack, it's like no matter how shitty they're doing, or maybe it's golf. This happens with us in golf. It's like no matter how shitty they're doing all day, somehow they seem to hit like some obscene bet to bring it all back to even or maybe win some money. And like, you're like, what the fuck? How'd these guys pull this off? Those two people are who you're listening to right now.
That's what we're going after.
So if you want to win some money or get back to even after losing a lot of money, this is the podcast for you. That being said, we're going to move into the Papelbon Bryce Harper situation. What's your take on it, Shay?
I mean, I do understand Papelbon's situation, that he's a veteran on the squad. Not like on the squad, but he's a veteran. He's like 34, 32 years old. He's been in the league for a decade almost or more. And Harper's just a young gun. But, I mean, he is the MVP and the captain of the team. You can't just choke out your own player. It's just a classic situation of when they replaced Storn with Papelbon, it was a good move statistically, but a terrible move for morale. And you know what? The Mets ended up running away with it, and that did not help with that situation. What do you think happened in there?
Well, you know, we're talking about Aqueduct and Belmont. We're both big Mets fans.
Huge Mets fans.
When I saw this, I, like, died laughing. I thought it was the funniest thing ever. The Nationals have been the definition of a dumpster fire for the last month. The Mets put them in their grave with that sweep. It was just all around, loved seeing it. Nobody hates Bryce Harper more than me. I think he's a total fuckboy douchebag. And, yeah, he's amazing. There's nothing – his play on the field is, you know, it's awesome. He's probably going to win the NL MVP. Papelbon is also a huge psychopath. So, like, it wasn't surprising that Papelbon went at him. Like, I think he had a ton of locker room problems in Boston, too. The problem for me is Bryce in general. Like, he is still only 23 years old. Like, the stuff he does at the plate when he, like, freaks out on reps or umps. You remember when he got tossed out of the Mets game in, like, the 11th inning in a tie game?
That was huge.
Like, it's like I can understand where Papelbon's coming from just because of, like, how frustrating I'm sure it is to deal with Bryce Harper sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, he's 23 years old and he's basically not running out plays and, like, just not, like, showing a professional attitude. And I get that, but you still can't choke out your player. I mean, Papelbon's definitely gone after this season, I would think, right, Williamson?
They already cut him? Yeah.
That's probably a good one.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Williams is gone too. I mean, this has got to be like one of the biggest – this has got to be one of the most disappointing seasons a franchise has had in a while. Like, the Nationals, you remember the Sports Illustrated cover with their, like, five aces? It's like, yeah, who's got the five aces now?
Yeah.
It's the New York
fucking
Mets.
You know how Bryce was like, where's my ring at the beginning of the season? This is like now after this season, they're about to put everyone on the chopping block. They went out and got Scherzer and everyone. They were going for it this year, and now they're probably going to have to let go of Rendon and a bunch of other players on the squad. Quite the offseason for them.
Yeah, and they're going to lose Zimmerman, right? Did you just say that?
Yeah, no, I didn't say that. But, yeah, they're probably going to let him go. They just can't take his contract size, probably.
Yeah, not after paying Scherzer. I mean, it was – from a Mets fan perspective, it's like basically everything that people thought the Nationals were going to be this year, the Mets were, which is awesome. Like, they were supposed to have the amazing staff with, like, good hitting, and obviously the good hitting came later. But, like, right now it's like the Mets are everything the Nationals were supposed to be when they were, like, one of the top five picks to win the World Series at the start of the season. So from our perspective, that's pretty fucking sweet going into the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean,
hey,
I'm seeing the Mets all playoffs. I'm hoping that they can pull some magic. Their pitching is just so solid. But, I mean, people forget that we were tied with the Nationals going into the All-Star break, basically. And now we're 8.5, 9 games up, and it's a pretty amazing situation right there.
Yeah, and I love what the Mets have decided to do with their pitching staff. Like, you knew Nice was going to the – there was no chance Nice was ever going to start a playoff game. The guy is not good enough. And as much as I love Colon's, like, personality and everything, it's like
that
there's no
can.
Way you can – you can't justify sending him to the mound over any one of the four aces, Mats, Harvey, Syndergaard, and DeGrom. There's no way you can justify that. So I'm excited, and I like the move of pitching Harvey in Game 3 and DeGrom in Game 1. That way Harvey's only going to pick one game of the series, but it will be a pivotal game, and that's what Collins was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to go to that game?
Yeah, I'm going to go to actually both games, hopefully. One of my friends has tickets to the Dodgers, so I'm definitely going to go to a couple games. It's going to be sweet.
If we don't sweep them.
Yeah, if we don't sweep them. I mean, then I'd go to one, but.
That'd be fine. I just spent about, I was online shopping today, and I literally think I spent $600 on that stuff.
That's swag. I mean, I lost a couple jerseys. I'm going to have to re-up before I go to the games, but I'll be the loud asshole screaming.
I'm so pumped. I made sure that I had all four starting pitchers, like, T-shirts. So whenever, if it's Matt's on the mound, I'm wearing my Matt's T-shirt. And then I got a Familia shirt. So when he comes in the ninth, I take off whoever the starter was, throw on the Familia one. I'm just all in on this team, and it's actually going to, you know. I also made that preseason bet to win $4,000 on the Mets. So if they lose, it's going to be pretty devastating as a fan and losing that potential payday.
Yeah. Should we move into MLB picks?
Yeah, that's a good transition. You want to just call out the game you like and say what you like, and I'll say my opinion on the game?
All right. Yeah, one of the games I definitely like. Some fucking asshole.
Turn off your fucking phone.
I know.
Is that you?
Yeah, my fucking FaceTime goes to my computer. It's so fucking bullshit. One of my games that I really like is St. Louis at Pittsburgh. You got Waka on the mound against Morton. Morton's ERA is about a 4, I believe. I mean, Waka recently, but I mean, the guy has amazing stuff, and I think St. Louis is going to try and shut the door and on Pittsburgh. So I have that, as well as in Kansas City, Cueto has been pitching terribly since his free agency pickup. But
hold on, let me weigh in on that Cards game before we move on.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go the other way with you on that one. I love the Pirates' home field. They've got the best bullpen in the majors. And I think the Cards are kind of reeling. Waka hasn't been the same since he got off to that outrageous start. I think the Pirates are going to actually end up – I think the Pirates are going to win 2 or 3 against in this series. And I think they're going to make – I don't know if they're going to get it because it's 3 games back, but I think they're going to make a push to win the division. So I'm actually going against you on that when I'm taking the Pirates.
I respect that. I get that. I just think Waka's going to turn it around, but – We'll move on. My Kansas City, I have Kansas City over the White Sox. Johnny Cueto, he's been struggling also, but he had a solid outing. Last outing, he gave up 2 runs, but I think he's going to shut him down. I think he's going to return to his form. What do you think?
Love the Royals. Yep, like Cueto.
You got it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you told me about this pick, Yanks, Sox over 8 runs. This one all boils down to which Pineda shows up for the Yanks. Like, yeah. That guy is the most, like, that guy's the streakiest pitcher I've ever seen. Like, one game he'll go in there and, like, be knocked out in the second and give up 8, and then he'll throw, like, a complete game 1-hitter the next day. And it's with, like, electric stuff. I don't understand him. And I actually love what the Sox doing right now, so I think they will hit him, but I think the Yanks are going to keep this game close, so I think the Sox get some runs on the Yanks, and the Yanks still win the game, so I love the over.
Yeah, I like the over there. What do you think about the Toronto game? I actually like the -1.5, the spread on that one.
Who's on the mound for the Blue Jays? I love him.
Marcus Stroman. Stroman, he's the rook. He's 3-0 with a... What's that with the ZRA?
He's got like a 1.8, right?
He's got a 1.89 right now. He's 3-0.
Yeah. The -1.5, too. That's tough for me on the road, but with the juice, I think you kind of have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, because you can't take it straight up. It's a tough – it's basically 2-1, right? Straight up.
Yeah. I generally don't mind the 1.5. I don't mind taking the spread in baseball. Generally.
Yeah, it's not a terrible look. You're definitely looking for more runs scored, though, so if, like, great pitchers are up, I wouldn't necessarily go after it.
Yeah, so in a situation where I'm not scared of the 1.5 is tonight in the Mets Phillies game, and I'm obviously going to take the Mets minus 1.5. We're 14-2 against the Phillies this year.
Also, a lot of people are saying that this game doesn't mean anything to us. It is actually a pretty big game for the Mets. We're fighting for home field advantage against the Dodgers. I mean, the Phillies have nothing other than to try and avoid 100 losses on the year. So I think that the Mets, with a 10-game road winning streak, are going to extend it to 11.
I agree, because if you look at the splits on the Mets season, I'll pull them up right now as I'm talking, but the Mets are a lot better at home than we are on the road. And especially with young pitchers, I think home field is going to be really important just because you're more comfortable. And it's not that I don't think those guys are big game pitchers. I think DeGrom has shown that he can be, you know, good in big spots when we went out to LA and he squared off with some of the studs out there. But also, it's just on the road in that environment, it just makes it a lot. It makes it a lot tougher to win games with young pitchers.
I mean, I think we versus Nolan is crazy. It's the difference is like 3 earned runs a game difference for Syndergaard alone. He loves pitching at home. But what were you about to say on that one?
Well, the other thing that's just important about that is, I think it's important. This is obviously we're looking ahead and this isn't really on topic, but it's important to have the series done before game 5 for me with the Dodgers, because as good as these pitchers are, none of them have been, there's not a single one of our starters that have ever pitched in a playoff game. 2 of them are rookies. One's in his second year. So it's like, I think it is fairly important for us to get off to a hot start in the series. And it's going to be tougher to do that, on the road than it is at home. We're 48-30 at home. Basically, we're 41-37 on the road, but that's with a 10-game win streak, right?
Yeah. I mean, recently, that's actually the most road wins the Mets have had. I think it's a record, actually. They're like this season, actually, the road wins, just because of this 10-game winning streak, basically.
Before the 10-game winning streak, we were 31-37 on the road. So, you know, I'm not saying we've gotten better on the road, and that's, in my opinion, because the bats have come alive, and it's harder to win just with pitching on the road than it is at home, because it's easier to get some run support when you're in your own building. So I think getting home field advantage and getting DeGrom and Syndergaard at home to start that series makes it a lot easier than if we had to go to LA and face Kershaw and Greinke in their building. That could be a situation where we end up, you know, down potentially 2-0. So I think every game from here on out until we clinch home field is important and the guys are taking it seriously. And a team that's hot is a team that's hot. So you don't just cool off because you think a game doesn't mean anything. So I love the Mets again tonight.
A huge game tonight is a Giants-Dodgers game. It's Kershaw-Bumgarner. I mean, 2 absolute studs going after each other. I've actually got San Francisco taking this one at home with Bumgarner. He's won the last 3 meetings this year, and I think he's going to go pretty against Kershaw, even though he's obviously got Kershaw, I think, the best pitcher in the game. What do you think on that one?
You think Bumgarner's taking Kershaw deep?
I think San Francisco is going to win this one. Just straight up.
Hold on. But are you saying you think Bumgarner's going to go yard off Kershaw?
I mean, the funny thing is that they've each gone yard on each other. They both have 2 home runs, I think. But
Bumgarner has done it, has homered off Kershaw before, but that's a pretty ballsy claim. You just think they're going to hit Kershaw. I am actually 1,000% with you on this. Because what's the lead? The lead's like 4 games or 5 games that the Dodgers have over the Giants?
Basically, if the Dodgers beat the Giants, it's over.
Yeah.
Mathematically impossible. So,
They have a 5-game lead with 6 to go. Dodgers are on a 4-game losing streak, and the Giants are on a 3-game winning streak. I'm not saying – I don't think – it's just too much ground to make up. But if any team would do this, it would be the Giants.
Yeah.
Like the Giants, they're crazy.
Every year. Crazy.
And you know what else I love about this game? This game is going to be, even though it's probably in the grand scheme of things not going to be that important, since the Dodgers haven't clinched and the Giants have a three-game series with them, Bumgarner is going to be treating this game like it's a playoff game. The guy's kind of a psycho. And if we've seen anything from a playoff game between Bumgarner and Kershaw, it's Bumgarner's going to get the better of him. So I'm with you on that. Did you see that thing that Bumgarner started dipping when he was nine or something?
Been dipping for like the last 15 years.
Have you seen his wife?
No, is she a smoke?
No, she's like really beat.
Really?
Yeah.
Look her up.
It's just kind of.
It's ridiculous.
No. It's ridiculous.
Ew. What?
I know. It's crazy.
She's like 5 foot 180.
Yeah. She's disgusting.
I don't know where that's coming from. Brandon Belt's girlfriend is no better, I just saw, if you look that one up.
Whose?
Who's also on. Brandon Belt is on the Giants. I don't know. It just showed up, Brandon Belt wife, when I looked at her, Bumgarner wife. She's almost worse.
I don't understand that move. You know?
I mean, you could basically get any girl in San Francisco. Pretty sure everyone loves the Giants in San Francisco. I mean, they've sold out a record like three straight years or something like that.
Yeah. That's kind of like the opposite of what Citi Field was for the 3 years before this one.
Yeah. It's coming alive at Citi Field now.
Oh, yeah. That game, that Nats game we went to with the back-to-back Jacks and then the dude a two-run blast one runner later. Place was electric.
What were you doing? Oh, are we keeping moving on?
Yeah, we're gonna do. I just wanted to. We're gonna talk football tomorrow on Thursday. But before we get into that, let's do a little Giants Jets talk. Just on what your thoughts were on your game this week. You want to go first?
On the G-men.
Yeah, what do you think of their performance?
I picked them over the Redskins at home with spread. The thing is, the division is so weak that you got to think that if the Giants can put together a few good games in the next maybe three or four, they're playing the Bills, then the Niners, and then they've got two straight division games against the Eagles and Cowboys. I mean, Romo's going to be out for that one. The Eagles, I mean, I don't know where they are right now. So, I mean, the Giants lost their first two games, but they were in the game. So, I mean, they should actually realistically be 3-0, but not necessarily because of good play, but just because of the teams they're playing aren't that good. Like the NL, I mean, yeah, the National League East is just terrible.
The NFC East?
NFC, yes. Sorry, I'm talking baseball and fucking football. Yeah. I think that the Giants are going to go about either 8-8. I'm hoping for 9-7. And honestly, a 9-7 in our division, who knows where that could take us. But I'm thinking 8-8. I'm hoping that against the Bills away, I'm probably not going to bet on that one. I just don't really see them beating the Bills away. But what do you think about the Jets this week?
I love the Jets. I still think we're really good. That was a total fiasco last weekend. We lost 24-17. Fitzpatrick got picked off three times. Brandon Marshall lateraled it to the Eagles players.
That was
Sproles took one 89 yards to the house. So if we do three of those five, win the game.
And they were still in it at the end of the game. They were still in it at the end of the game. If Brandon Marshall caught that ball.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall let one go through his hands that ended up getting picked off. The defense really only gave up 10 points. The defense is so good this year that like there's no game that we can't win. The problem lies solely on the quarterback position. Fitzpatrick is just really bad. I don't understand how this, like, smart Harvard guy is, like, makes the worst decisions of any quarterback in NFL history. He, like, leads the league in interceptions since he's been in the league for per games played. It's crazy. And it's, like, it goes to show, like, football instincts are a real thing. It's, like, it's no matter how smart a guy you are, it's, like, you still got to make smart decisions with the ball, and Fitzpatrick does not do that. And I don't know if I want Geno back, but he dressed on Sunday, and he was the starter going into the year. He can't be worse. Like, at one point,
I thought Fitzpatrick looked pretty solid against the Colts, though. He's all right. I mean, nothing special.
Yeah,
he's in there to manage the game.
He's in there to manage the game and not turn the ball over, but he can't do that. That's the problem. He's not good. He's like, he's too bad to do that. It's crazy. I had a legitimate conversation with the guy sitting next to me at the bar where I was watching the game on Sunday, that the Jets would be better off not having an offense. I was like, we might just be better off punting every time and, like, hoping our defense scores. It's like, because we get, like, we're going to lose games. Like, I mean, obviously not, but, like, we might. And also Decker and Ivory didn't play, which put all the pressure on the entire offense on Brandon Marshall. And if we've seen anything, Brandon Marshall isn't exactly a stud under pressure, as we saw when he tried to lateral it in the middle of a close game. But so the Jets, I'm still optimistic. This is, you want to hear brutal, this game in London, it starts at 9:30 in the morning here, which for you is 6:30. So it's like 6:30 West Coast time. So it's like, that's actually better. Like, you could go out Saturday night, come home, like, have a nightcap, stay up, watch a movie, and then fire up the Jets game.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. This is a disaster for me, getting up at 9:30 to watch this thing. That game, if you have the Jets D in fantasy, I love it. We're playing the Dolphins. They turn it over like crazy. That game is going to be such a disaster, like, going overseas and, like, trying to play a game in London. There's going to be a ton of turnovers, which I think benefits the Jets. We're not doing our picks, but I like the Jets a lot this week. It's these games in London. I don't know if you've watched any of them. They're really sloppy.
Yeah. But usually they're not this big of a game. I mean, this is in division. Like, this is one of the first in-division games that's being played, like, overseas. Like, I'm surprised that they put the Dolphins and the Jets in this situation almost.
Yeah, I am too, because last year was, like, Lions, Falcons, not as many implications, but it is what it is. One other thing I wanted to do with the Mets fan was we're going to do a Mary Fuck Kill, Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, you go first. I'm writing mine down. I already thought about it today.
Okay. Syndergaard, DeGrom, and Harvey?
Yeah.
You got to marry DeGrom. Probably kill Harvey and bang Syndergaard, honestly. What are you thinking on that one?
I had literally the exact same thing.
I mean, DeGrom, I think Syndergaard could end up being our best pitcher also.
Syndergaard, let's be honest. You're not, like, all right, DeGrom, you know he's just, like, already married, so you know he's marriage material, you know? If we've seen anything out of Harvey, that he's kind of a quitter, can't be marrying a quitter, you know?
Yep.
Plus, like, Syndergaard, the guy's nickname is Thor. You got to bang that guy, right?
Probably got a hammer.
He's probably amazing in the sack. And then DeGrom's a nice guy. He'll probably end up getting the fattest contract. Him or Harvey, probably. Syndergaard's got a lot of time left too, I guess. But you're going to be comfortable with DeGrom, or you're going to be comfortable with any of these guys. But you just can't do anything but kill Harvey, because he's a quitter. And that means, you know what? If he's a quitter at anything, he's a quitter at everything for me. Probably going to be lazy in the bedroom. I said it.
About another thing about Harvey is that my buddy sent me a Twitter message from one of the ESPN insiders about how Harvey told Terry Collins that they're going to wait to do the innings cap next year. Like, that's some positive thing. I think that's, like, why is there an inning cap on this guy? Like
the whole inning cap thing. The innings cap thing is a total disaster. There's no scientific evidence that that inning count thing, that number, means anything. It's completely arbitrary. And the other thing is, it shouldn't be based on innings. It should be based on pitches. If you're pitching innings, it's not the same as some scrub with a 6 ERA that's out there throwing 25 pitches an inning. The guy has, had one stressful inning all season. Have you seen that stat? It's, stressful innings.
Yeah.
He has the lowest in the major leagues.
He also has the second lowest, I think, in pitches per inning, I think.
That's what I'm saying. So his innings are not the same as some other bum who got Tommy John's innings. He's not putting as much stress on his arm as a normal guy normally would. It's pretty infuriating, it looks like, from everything I've seen, it does look like now he's kind of gotten off that kick and he's like, I'll go. He's said he wants to go. I don't see any way in the playoffs when push comes to shove, he doesn't just man up. If he's pitching one game a series, I think he just mans up. And even if he throws only 100 pitches, that's fine with me. That can get us, that can get us to where we need to, We have Familia.
Kershaw threw 131 against the Giants.
I know.
Don't really see.
Bumgarner came out of the bullpen on no day's rest last year to get this close.
Yeah.
That's why he's getting killed for me, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely dying for me, too.
As much as I love I did love Harvey. It was it was almost, in a way, for me, it was almost like a bad breakup. It was this guy really let me down. And I've never had a relationship in my life before, so this one really hurt. I almost burned my T-shirt. Luckily, I didn't, because I would have had to buy a new one for the playoffs. When I read the thing, I couldn't even believe it.
Yeah, I know. It's just what did you think was going to happen? You crowned yourself basically the Dark Knight of New York, and you're basically telling everyone, I'm not going to pitch in the playoffs? It's what do you think was going to happen?
It's shameful. It's shameful. But, hey, he can – it's all cool if he pitches and pitches well in the playoffs and pitches as long as he should pitch, which he said he wants to do. So if he does that, we're good. Did you see what Derek Rose said today? This is another thing I want to do. Did you see what he said?
No, I haven't. I didn't see that.
Derek Rose said in his media thing, he's a free agent, I guess not this, in 2 years he's a free agent. So he's got 2 years left on his deal. And he was talking about how he was trying to set himself up. All he cared about was making sure his son was comfortable and making enough money for his son to be comfortable moving forward in their life. It was dude, do yourself a favor for once. You make $100 million. You've signed $100 million contract. Your son's going to be fine. You think Chicago fans who have seen you play 100 out of the last 300 games want to hear about how you just want your son to be comfortable financially? Guy can't help himself out.
Yeah, that's just out of left field. You got to just say the right things to the media. Who cares what you actually believe? Just tell the media
exactly.
They want to hear.
Exactly. It's if that's all you're worried about, that's fine. That's all you need to worry about. But you're going to have plenty of money for your kid. You don't need Bulls fans who have seen you as kind of a huge letdown since you've signed that huge contract, standing right next to Jimmy Butler, who's been a warrior, never misses a game, has been a total stud. And meanwhile, you're still putting on a circus in the media. It's just not what you want to see out of your team. And I know what you don't want to see out of your team, and so do you, because we're Knicks fans.
As lifelong Knicks fans, we know this this problem. The team this year, it's done. I'm going to call it before we even start. We're not going anywhere with the squad. I would say we almost need to let go of Melo, even though I love Melo so much. We're not going to win a championship with Melo, personally.
Yeah, not unless he brings in KD.
Yeah, that's the dream, but
that's not gonna happen.
KD, yeah, he's going to Washington if anywhere.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm gonna watch the. It's I'm almost scared. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm legitimately scared to watch a Knicks game. We're so bad.
I just can't. I don't want to start watching and then be like, holy shit, it's 80-40 in the second quarter. Like, a couple of games last year, I literally was watching the game and it was like 75-40 in the second quarter. I was like, holy shit.
Dude, you know those games, like, when you bet, and this is like, I haven't talked a ton about gambling on the show, but you know those NBA games where it's like there are those teams that are just always double-digit underdogs no matter what? It's like, that is going to be us all year. It's like, we could be playing, like, the Bucks, and it's like, Bucks minus 14. It's like, and I love them. And I love the Bucks in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all in on the Rangers.
I'm all in on the Rangers.
I watched the shootout last night.
Yeah, Yandel put a top cheddar to win it. I don't think they're playing today. I think their first game is...
We have the Bruins.
I can't bet on it. It's all preseason right now, but when does the season actually start for that? I've actually been wanting to talk about some NHL picks.
The season starts the same time the NLDS starts.
Yeah, October 7th. Rangers and Blackhawks, actually.
So
you're going to have so much stuff coming up the next couple of weeks, actually. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it is going to be great. So that's all. We're going to run through our picks today. I'll just give you guys a quick recap. Cards, Pirates, awesome game tonight, probably on ESPN. I haven't looked. The Horse, that's the segment that we're going to put into play next week that I kind of forgot about, is Ride the Horse. This guy's made a ton of money in gambling baseball. I'm going to choose not to ride with him on the Cards, Pirates, but we're on the same page with every other one. So that's Mets, -1.5, or just straight up pick them. I think it's like -160, which is a lot of juice for Cologne on the mound.
Yeah.
Blue Jays -1.5, Yankees, Red Sox over 8 runs, Kansas City, and then we're loading up on Bumgarner against Kershaw. Is that all? You got anything else, Horse?
Did you say Kansas City in that one?
Yeah.
I've also I put a small bet down on the Rangers with Cole Hamels up at home against the Tigers. They're still fighting for their playoff spot. I have them. By 1.5.
I am, in terms of that wild card race, nothing. Like, if this Bryce Harper Papelbon thing could happen at the same time as a Yankees collapse to miss the playoffs, I would be over the moon. The Yankees basically have it locked up. I think they have a 4-game lead, 6 games left. But if they lost 5 of 6 and some team won 5 of 6 behind them, it's not likely, but it's possible. And if I could watch Bryce Harper get choked out in the dugout and then the Yankees melt down and miss the playoffs while Mets have home field in the NLDS, I'd be over them.
I mean, it's kind of crazy how many Mets fans have started reappearing. I feel like a lot of Yankees – I have a few friends that are Yankees fans. And they're starting to become Mets fans. I'm like, dude, fuck you. Like, I don't become a Yankees fan like when the Mets are bad. Like, this is my 1 year. Like, suck my dick.
The whole switching teams thing is bullshit. But you can – in general, no, you can't switch teams. But you can't go – you can't hop from the Yankees to the Mets. It doesn't work that way.
It's just like because the Yankees are always that's just basically saying you're a winner picker, like because the Yankees are almost always good.
It's the biggest fraud move in the game. If you're trying to leave a team with the most championships of any franchise in professional sports and hop on the fucking Mets, jump off a bridge.
No, seriously.
That being said, everyone who I know who doesn't have a team, I'm trying to get to become a Mets fan. And they
are. That
is. It's like you watch them. You watch a Mets game these days.
Yeah. I mean, I have a few friends that aren't baseball fans, but like now that I've been showing them the Mets, they're totally into it.
I know. I have one friend. I was like, we'll watch the Mets games, and it'll be like, like DeGrom on the mound. And then it was during that national series, I got one of my buddies on board, like that DeGrom Strasburg game when Cespedes went deep. So we have a really fun team to watch, and I love the Mets lineup tonight. You see what it was? It's Granderson starting at the top of the order. It's Granderson, D. Wright, Murph, Cespedes, Duda, Darnot, Conforto, Tejada, Colon. Love it. Those are our best players.
2 months ago, our 4 and 5 hitter were who were they? They were Eric Campbell and John Mayberry. That's a crazy turnaround.
Yeah, and now our first seven hitters can all take you deep at any second. Like Conforto is a stud.
Is he a candidate for rookie of the year?
He just came in too late, I think.
Yeah, I mean with Rizzo and shit like that, and Chris Bryant.
I think that guy Gong that got hurt for the Pirates. I think he was in the driver's seat. But he got taken out by that dude for the Cardinals. Or was it the Cardinals? No, it was the Cubs. The Cubs.
Yeah, I think Anthony Rizzo is going to take it, actually, right? He's been killing it.
He's a rookie. But that's the show. Bet those games tonight. We're going to do a show tomorrow. We're going to be talking some more sports and probably college football. And then Thursday will be the flagship NFL Pick'em show. Thanks for tuning in. It's going to be Bills and the Horse rest of the year. Thanks for listening to The Spread.